Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrne, a potpourri of podcasts by me, veterinary ethologist Myrne Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed. Changing animal behavior consists of three basic steps. The first step is overcoming inertia. Sure, the dog's aggression or the cat's not using the litter box is a pain in the neck, but is the cost of resolving the problem greater or less than how much grief the problem is costing us? That's the question every person has to answer for themselves. Is the negative behavior undermining the relationship with the animal or with relatives or neighbors? Is the behavior a potential liability? So we weigh the costs and the benefits. If we decide that the benefits are worth the cost, then we move on to step two. Step two involves making changes of some sort. What comes as a surprise to many people at this point is that they may have to change themselves first in order to change their animals. This isn't as easy as it may seem. Some people consider themselves at the top of a species pyramid, and if an animal has problems, it's the animal's responsibility to change to please them. Meanwhile, because the animal is also hardwired to get what he or she wants using the least amount of energy, most animals perceive this as the other way around. They expect us to be the role model before they're going to change their behavior. Like learning any new skill, be it how to play a musical instrument, make a flaky pie crust, snowboard, or water ski, making the necessary changes in ourselves to change an animal's behavior takes time, patience, and commitment. The cost-benefit analysis comes in again. Is it worth it? Is it worth it to make these changes? Yes or no? Unlike other changes, the changes we make as adults often don't generate the kind of support that the changes we made as children did. When we're learning a skill when we're still young children, a lot of times there's support from teachers, parents, grandparents, and other caregivers, cheering us along every step of the way. But when the dog or the cat has problems, sometimes we may have to go it on our own. Sometimes we have to go it on our own because there is no one else. Other times, we must go it on our own because we're the only one who really cares about the animal. It's hard work. It takes a lot of patience and commitment. We have to learn self-reinforcement and self-control. And a lot of times, more often than not, there's no one there to give us a gold star or a pat on the back, or say, well done, you're doing a fantastic job. And while most professionals will support their clients, they can't be there all the time. Sometimes people try to have it both ways. They want to do the hard work to ensure a consistent response when it fits into their schedule, but not the rest of the time. Because we all know that inconsistency makes problem behavior worse, that doesn't work. Then they become discouraged. When this happens, some of them vow to do better, and they do better. Others simply give up. They either learn to accept the animal's problem behavior, or they give up the animal. But then comes the third step, the reward for those who stick it out. It's when everything clicks. For some people, it's a light bulb moment. Other people refer to it as internalizing or just getting it. We and our animals both get it. What required hard work and constant concentration suddenly becomes natural. It's that feeling of becoming, of owning something, of a behavior in ourselves and our animals that has become so much a part of us, so natural, we can't imagine that there was a time when this wasn't the norm.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries, and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Catova Arts, www.catova.com.